This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we're all traveling this faithfulness bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at www.botfpodcast.com. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast. You can find me on Instagram at botfpodcast, and you can email me at jenna@botfpodcast.com because I need to keep it consistent. I'm really excited about our guest today. It's my new friend, Christy Thomas, and she is passionate about helping parents nurture deep faith roots through little habits that add up over time. At her website, littleshootsdeeproots.com, and you can find that on the show notes on my page here if you need to look it up. And she has incredible resources to help you dig deep and take ownership through community and knowing you're not alone to build confidence in deepening your children's faith. You can find her Christian Mom community of over 4,000 members. She has parenting articles and a blog, and she has an amazing library of books that she's written, including Quinn's Promise Rock, which is an adorable little book about a little owl, Quinn, learning about the constant love of God even in hard times, which I think lots of kids need that right now. And her new book, The Mother and Son Prayer Journal, which is a keepsake devotional journal to do with your son. And we'll talk about that more in a little bit. So Christy, thank you so much for taking time away from family and sacrificing a little bit to help get this information out there to new people. So thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So why don't you talk a little bit about just how your writing and blogging and all of that, how did that spark in your life?
To be honest, I've always been a writer. When I was a kid, my teacher sent me to these young authors conferences. And then my love for writing kind of turned into like science writing and stuff while I was working on my science degree. But then I ended up with a job in children's ministry instead of a job in science. So then I was writing curriculum and lesson plans and skits. So I was a little bit more creative. And I was the director of children's ministries at my church for over 10 years. And then while I was on maternity leave with my third child, I decided to write a book. Because I didn't have enough to do. And I took a bunch of take-home papers that I had written for our preschool families and kind of compiled them into a book. And during that process, the publisher and I kind of invented this little owl that would be the mascot in the book. It's called Wise for Salvation. So we used this little owl because owls are wise. And then from that owl, then I created these stories that became the picture books, Quinn's Promise Rock and Quinn Says Goodbye. And then through that process, I realized I also had a passion for helping families grow deeper in Christ with their kids and equipping them to be able to do that in realistic ways that, you know, don't take a bazillion hours, you know, like being able to do family faith in ways that take just minutes every day, but have a really deep impact on our kids' lives. So I ended up quitting my job at the church. It was all good. There was no bad things there, but that way I could focus more on my writing for families. And then a year later, I started homeschooling. So I thought it was kind of going to be the end of my writing for a while, but it ended up not being. I probably have done more writing while homeschooling than ever before. So that's been an interesting twist.
Okay, so as I'm a nurse doing podcasting, so I get the whole science switching to writing thing, but I'm just curious, how did you went to school for sciencey and then you ended up doing children's ministry? How did that come about?
Well, I kind of wanted to try to become a doctor, and then I met my future husband and was like, do I really want that kind of life? I decided to finish up my science degree, but during my degree, I was looking for summer jobs, and 1 year I got a summer job at a church in children's ministry, and I loved it. And then I got the same job the next summer, and I was like, you know what? I actually care a lot more about the spiritual life of kids than about their physical life. Like, they're both important, but for me, it felt like a really good fit. It was fun. And so I ended up staying at that church for a couple of years, running like special events and teaching Sunday school. And then I ended up going to another church and becoming the director of children's ministries. So it just kind of, my life just took this weird turn to the side, and I have never looked back. I enjoyed my science degree. I don't regret that I did that. I feel like I learned a lot of skills through it, but it never really turned into what I thought it would be.
God's really good at doing that. So you have a new book coming out, which is the Mother and Son Prayer Journal. And how did that get inspired?
It's a little bit unusual. I actually had a publisher reach out to me and ask if I would write a mother-son prayer journal for them. At first I thought, is this a scam? So I have an agent. So I sent it to her and said, is this real? And she said, yeah, this is a real publisher. They're small, but they're real. And so she worked out a contract with them and I signed it. And here it was. There was some back and forth in there because I didn't want to say yes to this project until I knew that it was something that I really could do, that God was going to honor. So, but then I prayed about it a lot. I talked with some other boy moms and I realized I'd really love to introduce my boys to David on a deeper level. And because I have three boys, I thought a mother-son prayer journal, I'm probably pretty equipped to be able to write this. I know what I want my kids to learn. So the point of the book became helping boys what it looks like to be a God chaser like David. Now we know that David wasn't perfect. So it's not about doing all the things like David does, but it's about showing God's faithfulness to David throughout his life and how David kind of had these ups and downs and what happens when he turned to God and what happened when he turned away from God. And God ended up calling him a man after my own heart. And that is really what I want for my boys, that God calls them men after his own heart. So there are 52 devotions in it. So you can do it once per week or you can do it faster. And then they each have a discussion question and then a devotional that's about 400 words long. So it takes about 5 minutes to read, maybe less, depending on how fast you speak. And then there's a prayer prompt to help boys apply what they're learning. So it has to do with the scripture and the devotional that I just wrote. It's usually really simple. I know my boys don't love journaling, so I tried to make it really fun. Like make a list, right? Just draw something here, make a comic of this. And then there's a page after every single one for moms to write their own prayers for their sons. So it can end up being a really beautiful keepsake, but also really powerful in your son's spiritual life.
What are the ages it's designed for?
Originally, I said 6 to 12. I think it depends on whether your kids can sit and listen for 5 minutes and focus. Your kid doesn't have to be able to write in order to get something out of it, because I mentioned in the introduction, you can write things down for your child. It's not less of a prayer if he dictates it to you. So your child doesn't need to be able to write, but they do need to be able to listen for a few minutes. So I would say 6 to 12, maybe a little bit older if your child doesn't have that attention span yet. So maybe more like 7 to 13. But as long as your son will sit and listen and connect with you and talk with you, it's okay for any age.
And I love how you're writing it down, it's there, and you can come back in a couple of years, or maybe not even that long, and see how God answered those prayers. And you can point out, hey, we did this together and look what God did. So there, it's almost multifaceted how you can see God's faithfulness through all of it.
Yeah, it was really hard to kind of wrap my mind around what could be a mother-son prayer journal where you're connecting with your son, but you're also connecting with God. So there's this aspect where you're connecting with each other, and then you're also praying, which is naturally kind of more introspective and individual. So that was interesting to try to wrap my brain around that, but I think it has worked out fairly well.
So you say you based it a lot out of David's life. How did you get into the research of that? Did you dig deep? Was it just reading and learning, or did you have to go to other resources for that?
Well, the first thing I did was buy a chronological Bible because I wanted to be able to see David's life, because some of it's kind of mixed up. There's 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, there's 1 Chronicles, there's Psalms, and I wanted to be able to see them in all in context without having to flip back and forth. So that was really handy. So I read David's whole life from beginning to end in my chronological Bible and kind of set out 52 different scripture readings that we could go through. So some of them are Psalms, a lot of them are based on his life. And then mostly I would pray before I start writing. And I also did a bit of research. I would read articles online, use a lot of commentaries, listen to a sermon series on David from R.C. Sproul. I read the notes in my study Bible. But to be honest, mostly it was just, God, I don't know what to say here. Please help me figure this out. So I tried to figure out the context, the historical context behind it. But then I just would look at my blank page and ask God for help.
Sounds like a skill that we all, I mean, I don't know. I feel like with parenting, that's kind of what we do anyway. We need lots of prayer and just let God help us figure out what to do with it.
And there's some research involved. I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading parenting books, but in the end, the parenting books don't know our unique kids. So yeah, God does.
So David is known for his faithfulness to God. And first of all, I always say this, but God's faithfulness is never dependent on our ability to be faithful to him. So this is not me saying you have to be faithful for God to show you his faithfulness. But are there any tactics that we can apply to our own lives based off of seeing David's faithfulness to God to help us also maintain and build into our faithfulness?
I really think it comes down to just understanding God's faithfulness to us. And we see that in David's life over and again, that God is faithful. So Hebrews 3 says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house." So when we fix our eyes on Jesus, who was the only one who could be completely faithful, then we can be faithful too. I think of it like if you were a farmer and you were trying to create straight furrows in the soil of your big field. So if you have a tractor or you have a cow, I'm not a farmer, so I assume you, like a plow, you know? So, you know, if you aim your cow or your tractor at a cow on the other end of the field and a moving target, you get terribly crooked rows. But then if you aim yourself at something that doesn't move, you get straight rows. So we can only be faithful when we're fixing our eyes on something that doesn't change. So Hebrews 12 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." So Jesus is like the tree at the end of the field. When we keep our spiritual eyes on him, we can keep running the race faithfully because he's faithful. He's like a steady tree to look at, not like a wandering cow. We can trust Jesus to be our steady, faithful guide because he was faithful. So now we know that David didn't have Jesus to look at, but he was generally faithful to keep his eyes on God. I think that's why we have so many Psalms, because he was reminding himself. That's a lot of the reason why I write, because I'm reminding myself of things that I know to be true. And I think that David did a lot of that too. He kept his eyes on God. He wrote, he praised, he talked to God. He was keeping his eyes fixed on God. So it wasn't just when he was in trouble that he wrote Psalms. He generally fixed his eyes on God all the time. And you can see the parts of his life where he didn't. And then things kind of went haywire. But I think that constant connection helped him to be faithful as much as possible.
That's a really good point. It's not necessarily an action that we have to take, but just intentionality in our relationship.
Yeah. And I mean, there are actions you have to take in order to have that relationship, right? I mean, we have to be connecting with Jesus. We have to be praying. We need to read the Bible semi-regularly so that we can get to know who Jesus is and who God is. I'm not saying just read the Gospels, but the Gospels are a great place to start to get to know who Jesus is so that we can get to know who God is. Because the Bible says that he is the image of the invisible God. So we can look at him and see what God is like and fix our eyes on God in that way.
So as a busy mom, is there a structure that works well for you? You have three boys, your life is busy, and I'm sure they're still in those needy stages where you don't get a lot of free time and peace. So what do you do to help make sure that you're getting that time in?
I don't have like a super regular thing. I suppose I try to get up before my kids. I started this a couple years ago. It took me a while to get into the habit of it. And then I spend some time reading in the morning. Sometimes I read a book about prayer, which inspires me to pray. Sometimes I read the Bible. But to be honest, I write because it forces me to depend on God and to research and to pray. So that's part of it. It's just kind of part of my life. And I also read the Bible with my kids too. So that's just kind of in the ebb and flow of my day. I connect with God. I try to in the mornings. Before the kids get up. Sometimes if I sleep in, that doesn't happen. If I doesn't, then I'll listen to a prayer podcast later that helps me intentionally connect with God. And I'll just read the Bible with the boys. And when I'm writing later on in the day, I will go back to the Bible and read something there and pray about it. So it's not like I have an hour in the morning to read and journal. I'm a little bit more here and there and everywhere, but it works well for me.
I think that's good to hear, because I think so many of us moms think, okay, we have to make it all structured and rigid and very pious. It's not necessarily like that. God's going to bless whatever time you give him. And any time that you make him a priority is going to edify your life, whether it's in the morning and strictly the same time and you're very regular in that, or if you throw it in when you can because your life is busy, it doesn't make you any better one way or the other, as long as you try.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember too that God doesn't want just like a little piece of our life. Like he doesn't just want 15 minutes with my coffee in the morning and my Instagram perfect prayer journal. He wants all of me. So when I read a devotion in the bathroom, when I've locked myself in the bathroom to go to the bathroom, you're probably somewhat familiar with, I keep a devotion.
Oh, yes.
So sometimes I read in the bathroom, or I turn on the audio Bible. It was great when my kids were little and they were napping regularly. I turned on an audio Bible and folded the laundry and swept. There are so many ways to read the Bible and to pray and to connect with God that have nothing to do with this picture-perfect devotional time.
So what has been your biggest struggle in parenting?
Whoa, you know how to ask good questions. So for me, it's really just knowing how to connect with each of my boys in a way that really meets their needs. I don't know if it's, I'm assuming it's the same no matter how many kids you have or what gender they are, but they're all so different. It's so tricky to know how to make each child feel loved. And it's in some ways, for some of them, it's easier. It's really obvious. This kid really needs a lot of hugs. But some of them are harder to know, how do I make you feel loved? And how do I help you know God's love as well? How do I shepherd your heart toward God? So to be honest, that's why I write so much about helping our kids know God, because writing kind of helps me keep accountable to keep learning and growing with God and to keep researching. And like I said before, I think that's why David wrote his Psalms, because he was kind of preaching to his own heart, like I do with my own writing.
It's kind of like in school, you know, you're doing the homework because you have to keep the information fresh. But when you're out of school, if you don't do all that work, you kind of lose it. So that's a good way to make yourself in your life accountable and build into that, which I'm not saying that all of you out there need to write books to be close. That's not what I'm saying. But maybe finding something that you're passionate about that you can build into it, and almost like a project with God to help him teach you through it, keeping that stuff fresh. I don't know. That's just a random idea, because that's kind of what I do too with this podcast. I wanted to have a physical representation, something that I dig deep in understanding what is God's faithfulness and why do I believe in it? Because I was in a really hard time with lots of transitions and a very unknown future. And I just wanted to know, do I have an anchor? Do I have something that no matter what my next 6 months or year, or I'm getting ready to hit the 3 year mark of doing this podcast, how can I do this and grow and make sure that I know exactly what my trust is in? So that can be something, you know, a journal or whatever for moms out there, whatever fits your personality or your passions or your questions. Having something like that, I think, would be a really good way to start digging deep in building that relationship a little bit with deeper roots. Okay, I want to get back to your book because I'm really intrigued by what you found. When David is known to be the man after God's own heart, but he also had some of the biggest blunders of the Bible. Did you learn more about him as you studied into his life, or what kinds of things did you learn from those big blunders of David?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story. So we all know David's greatest mistakes, like when he forced himself on Bathsheba. There was one weird moment where he did a census that God didn't want him to do. But there's one that struck me a lot, and it was from earlier in his life, from before he came king. So the end of 1 Samuel tells us that Saul kept pursuing David. Like, Saul kept trying to kill him because he thought he was jealous of David. He had this malevolent spirit kind of hovering over him, whatever that exactly was, we don't know. But anyway, Saul kept trying to kill David because he thought David was trying to kill him. And two times David was right next to him and could have killed him. One time Saul went to the bathroom in a cave and David could have killed him, but instead he just cut a piece off his robe. And then the second time Saul was asleep with his army around him and David and his best friend just kind of snuck into the camp. And Saul was asleep right there with his spear next to his head, and David could have killed him, but instead he grabbed his spear and his water jug and he left. And then he was like, "Hey, Saul, just so you know, I'm not trying to kill you." And both times Saul repented, and then David went on his way. But after this second time, 1 Samuel 27 says, "Then David said in his heart," and imagine this a little bit drama queeny, "Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should escape to the land of the Philistines." Like, what? So for some reason, after all of this, David just gave up hope that God would keep his promises. He was discouraged. He had just had a victory over Saul, and yet he was discouraged. He was probably tired and doubtful and so sick and tired of being chased. He had seen God deliver him time and time again, but for some reason, at this point, he gave up. He stopped trusting God. So he went to hide with Israel's enemies, the Philistines. Now, he had tried this before and it hadn't worked. The Philistines were like, "Isn't this the guy that killed Goliath?" And then David had pretended to be insane and ran away. But this time he really did go to hide with the enemy. And not only him, but he brought his family and he brought his 600 men and their families. And he led them to the idolatrous Philistines and made his home among them. So I read somewhere, and it's a little bit hard to verify this, but there's no record of any Psalms being written during his time with the Philistines. It's like he just turned away from God. He was so discouraged. He just turned his back and was like, "Nope, Saul's going to kill me. I better leave." Even after all these times when Saul hadn't killed him and God had kept protected him. So David befriends the prince of Gath, which is where Goliath was from, and they become best friends. And Achish, might be pronouncing that wrong, but we'll go with that. So Achish gives him a town, and then David starts raiding nearby Philistine towns. He basically becomes a pirate. He raids Philistine towns, and he robs them, and he murders every human being in those towns. This is not like when the Israelites entered the promised land. They had these, you know, instructions to wipe the land clean. God never told David to murder these villagers. He didn't say, go out and get those Philistines and wipe the land clean or whatever. David just did this on his own. He became a pirate or a brigand. Then David lied to Achish in order to gain his favor. He said, well, I'm actually raiding Israelite towns. He said, I'm actually raiding Israelite towns when he was raiding Philistine towns and murdering everybody so that nobody could tell what he was actually doing. And Achish was like, wow, this guy's really made himself look really bad to the Israelites. So I know that David's going to stick with me now. So David is like a fly that has flown into the spider's web, and he's made himself cozy with the enemy, and now he's stuck. So Achish promotes David to be his bodyguard for life, which is so crazy to me. So David is now the bodyguard of his enemy. So Achish invited him along to the next war against Israel, and David accepted. I don't know if he didn't have a choice, but he's like, yeah, sure, Achish, I'll go with you to fight my people. So he might have been stuck, but it kind of seems like he wanted to join the Philistines in fighting Saul. Like maybe he was bitter and just, like I said before, it sounded like he'd completely given up. So God had to intervene and ensure that the other Philistine leaders were too suspicious of David's loyalty to let him come. So the other Philistine leaders are saying, isn't this the guy that killed Goliath? Isn't this the guy of which the people said Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his thousands, talking about us, the Philistines? Yeah, so they're just too suspicious of him. And Achish is like, oh, I'm so sorry, dude. You just got to go home. I guess you can't come along on this particular battle. And David goes, huh, fine. So this happens to be the battle where Saul and Jonathan are killed. And if David had been a part of that Philistine army, there's no way the Israelites would have made him king. So he was planning to go along. And the Philistine leaders are like, no. And thankfully, he didn't go. So the things he did while he was discouraged nearly cost him his kingship. So it was a good thing God had a plan. So then David and his men, they return to their town that Achish gave them. It's called Ziklag. And they discover that the Amalekites basically razed their town to the ground and stolen their families. And I read somewhere that the Amalekites were more generous than David was, because David was killing everybody in the towns that he raided, and the Amalekites just burned the town and stole the people. So these pagans are being kinder than David is. So then finally, at this point, the Bible says that David found strength in God. It's like there's been this like black hole in his life, and suddenly he's like, oh, and he finds strength in God. He asks God for direction. His people are about to stone him. And finally he says, I'm going to find strength in God. He calls a priest and he says, ask God what we're supposed to do. Are we supposed to go against them? And then after that, it seems he kind of comes out of his funk and he starts recognizing God's faithfulness again. So here's what I learned. I learned that God is amazingly faithful. Even when we mess up royally, even when we completely give up on him, he's still there working in the background. So if God hadn't made those Philistine leaders send David home from the battle, he wouldn't have caught up with the Amalekites and gotten his people back. He would have been part of the battle that killed Saul. Everything would have been lost, but God organized it so that didn't happen. So he was still faithful to David, even when David had completely given up hope.
And you know, it's also kind of true and just struck me is when he had Samuel anoint him when he was, I think, 15. Is that right? 15?
Yeah, teenager. We don't know exactly, but yeah.
God knew this was going to happen. And he still chose David, even though he knew he was going to go through all of this. And that's kind of humbling too, is God already knew it was coming. It didn't surprise him. And he already had a plan and he kept his promises no matter what David was about to do. And through that, he not only blessed David, but, you know, filled the line toward Jesus. And he uses all of these people just in the line of Jesus in general, knowing how it came about and what they were going to do. And he still was faithful, even though he knew it was coming.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Random question, though. You said that they don't think any Psalms were written at that time. So when did he start writing Psalms again? This is not really related, but now I'm curious.
The next psalm I see is after they bring the ark back to the tabernacle. Like there's a lot of them that don't have reference points. Like we don't know exactly when he wrote them, but there isn't one that says this is when David wrote it. And actually the next one isn't technically a psalm, but it's like a song of prayer recorded in First Chronicles. So it's a long time.
That also gives me hope too, because there are times in either my parenting journey or recently, it's mostly been with parenting, but in general, dark times in my life where I feel really disconnected from God. Like he's not there and I'm in these terrible, painful spots. Where are you, God? And to be able to know that in David's life, in my life, God was still working, even though we didn't feel it.
Yeah, and this guy was like the king of, God, you're so amazing. I know you're always with me, even when my enemies surround me. And yet there's this like total black hole of a year or more in his life when there was none of that. And yet God is still there doing his thing, being faithful.
I've never really looked at it that way. So I'm excited about how you brought that to life a little bit. I think you've kind of answered this, but on a more personal level, seeing God do all of this in David's life when David was on his spiritual highs and his spiritual lows, how has that helped you see God's faithfulness in your own life?
Well, for sure, I learned that God is faithful, you know, in the midst of all those things. But I really experienced God's faithfulness in a really personal way too, as I was writing. So I am not like the queen of devotional books. I had never written devotionals before. I'd written like Sunday school lessons before, but that's not a 400 word devotional where you have to capture their attention and share a spiritual point all in 400 words. And there were 52 of them to write. And I found it surprisingly hard to connect all the dots in a way that kids and moms would really enjoy reading. So almost every time I sat down, I just felt like empty of ideas. But then I would pray about it and research and start writing, and God would faithfully give me ideas every single time. And now there's this book coming out in April that I didn't expect. And that was definitely a really powerful personal moment of God just showing his faithfulness to me.
Have you been doing these with your own boys?
Oh yeah. Yeah. As I was writing them, I print them off and then I would take them into my kids' rooms and be like, okay, here we go today. And so then I would read them with my 6-year-old and with my 9-year-old and with my 11-year-old and fix things that didn't make sense. I would change questions that weren't engaging. So that was really neat. So I have duotangs with the original ones all in there. And then I don't have the physical books yet, but when I do, I plan to go through them again with them. And I'm excited to see if anything's changed in between.
Are they good critiquers or was it humbling?
My oldest is pretty good. He likes to write. And sometimes he's like, Mom, I think you should change the way this is. But one way that they critique is just by zoning out. I'm like, whoa, that was clearly either confusing or boring. So I would circle it and go, fix this. They're pretty honest, I suppose.
I think kids are one of the best refining tools for us moms. So you said the book is coming out in April of 2021. We're in 2021. This is crazy. And I think this episode will come out a little bit after that. So the book will be out by the time this comes out. And where can they find it?
Well, you should be able to find it at any bookstore. If you go to my website, littleshootsdeeproots.com, and look at my books page, you'll be able to find some added resources there. So I'm creating pre-order bonuses now, which is going to be like interviews for boy moms and one of those tracker charts with rewards and stuff that you can use with your son to kind of help motivate you to keep going through it. So I can make those available to your listeners too if you want. I was planning to just do them for pre-orders, but I can make them available to you guys as well. I can give you a special link for that. But other than that, you should be able to find it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million, everywhere. It's only available in hardcover. It's not available in Kindle, which makes sense because it's something you want to write in.
Great. So that link will be in the show notes. The link to your website will be there. And you also have Facebook and Instagram, right?
Yeah. If you just go to my website and then scroll to the bottom, you'll see all my links. I started writing and I've gone through like 3 iterations of the name of my website. So not everything is the same. Like yours is all very streamlined and excellent. And mine's like Christy Thomas Writer and Little Shoots Deep Roots and Christy Thomas Little Shoots.
Sounds good. We'll have the link there. Is there anything else that you want to add before we close out with the verse or any advice to boy moms out there on how to keep going with all the crazy?
Just try and find little moments of delight in your day with your son, or with your daughter too, I suppose. When he makes you smile, just stop and let yourself smile and enjoy that, because days are crazy and busy and I don't know if we take enough time to really enjoy our kids. So, and also if you're trying to do something like this with your boys and you're finding they don't want to write, you know, it's supposed to be a prayer journal, but sometimes as moms, we tend to make these things kind of like all about the keepsake and you have to do your writing because I need to see your cute you know, grade two writing. But it's really more about the connection between you and him. So if it becomes a pain in the butt, then you do the writing. Just ask him to tell you what his thoughts are and write it down yourself. And then you can write your prayers later. So try not to make it too much like school.
That's a really good advice. It's more about the relationship than the keepsake. And those memories are going to be just as much of a keepsake as seeing their cute little backwards letters. My kids are at the backwards letters stage.
Oh yeah, I have one like that too.
All right, so you have chosen Psalm 34 verses 1 through 8 to close out today. Why did you choose them?
Well, because they're from a previous time in David's life when he had flown, he had tried to hide with the Philistines. It was the first time, the time that didn't work, and they were really suspicious of him, and he had to pretend to be insane and let spit down, run down his beard. And he wrote this psalm either during or right after this time. It says, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. And I just love the words that he says. I think it's again, like him just preaching to himself. He's reminding himself of who God is, even when everything is going wrong.
We'll close that in a second, but I just wanted to say thank you again so much for sharing your wisdom and bringing light and kind of like a fresh approach to a story that I feel like I gloss over that one a lot because the other stuff is just maybe more dramatic and exciting, but that's a really important part of David's life that we can focus on and find hope in, because God's still going to be faithful in our lives whether we are close to him or not. He is still working. So thanks again for sharing that, for encouraging other moms out there, for all of your work with your ministry, and just keep going, and excited to watch that grow and cheer you on from here and maybe promote it a little bit more in the future. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This has been really fun. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him.
This has been episode 63 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, entitled Building Deep Roots with Little Habits with Christy Thomas. For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/63. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.